introduce Mr. Griggs, or should we just go ahead and bring him up?
I'd be happy to. The person in the room who needs no introduction, Dave Griggs, I'm happy to do that. Dave, I'll just hand you the baton right away.
Is he the Culligan Water guy?
I think so.
Am I what, sir?
The Culligan Water guy?
Culligan Water guy, that's right. Make you a great deal on a water machine. Go with your new carpet here.
Hi, yes.
Good evening. I'm Dave Griggs. I'm the chairman of Ready Regional Economic Development Incorporated, and we are here tonight to offer an idea for your consideration that we think would be a great tool in Ready's quiver and in Columbia's toolbox to attract businesses and grow jobs. And with me are Mike Brooks and Bernie Andrews with Ready, Bob Black, who's the co-chair of the subcommittee, who actually is the chair of the subcommittee for establishment of enhanced enterprise zones, which we've been discussing for quite some time. Jonathan Sessions with the school board is with us tonight, Kerry Gardner with the downtown organization, and also joining us this evening is Lynn Behrens, who's the city administrator of Centralia, and all these folks have been involved in some way or other in putting this presentation together. We have a slideshow. Bernie's going to run the slides. Bernie's next to a computer that's dangerous. Let her rip. I will try not to just actually read off the slides, but really what we need to cover is on the slides, so I'll enhance this for a little bit. What we're proposing is called an enhanced enterprise zone, which is an economic development tool that the state of Missouri has. It's overseen by the Department of Economic Development. What is an EEZ? An EEZ may provide Columbia businesses with access to state of Missouri incentives that they cannot access now because of the size of their project, the wage rates that they pay, the number of jobs they create, et cetera. There are many benefits to the city of Columbia and County of Boone, frankly, that include increasing our competitive position in Columbia for business recruitment and job creation, helps us achieve parity with other Missouri communities and our neighboring states. Right now, 115 communities have enhanced enterprise zones, and I believe, last count, Bernie, there are 6 in process at this moment, probably 7 when you count the city of Centralia. Will provide small businesses and startups access to state incentives, and it's a significant tool to support our existing manufacturing companies. And Bernie, if Carol comes in, will you give me a high sign? We're expecting a lady from the Department of Economic Development here to answer any other questions you might have. So let's talk about some factors regarding manufacturing jobs in Columbia. Manufacturing jobs in Boone County have decreased from a 2004 average of 5,094 to 3,174 in 2010, which is a loss of 1,920 jobs, something that we're all concerned about. Manufacturing jobs provide attractive wages and benefits for many of our citizens. The last significant major manufacturing plant opened in 1995, which is something that we need to work on, and I'm certainly not proud of. Branch plants compete against other plants within the same company for new product lines and expansions. Some examples of that: 3M, Kraft Foods, PepsiCo, which we commonly call Quaker Oats, Schneider Electric, Dana Corporation, American Air Filter, the list goes on, Gates Rubber, are all branch plants. And when that corporation is investigating starting a new product or moving a product line, all those plants compete internally, and obviously in most cases the low-cost provider wins and gets the jobs. Local enhanced enterprise zones provide community or opportunity to for the community to better compete for expansion projects, since quality jobs, the state tax program, and Chapter 100 bonds are often unavailable tools because a company may not qualify for certain regulations or whatever, and the Chapter 100 bonds are fairly expensive to process, so we are currently at a disadvantage in that. An overview of an enhanced enterprise zone. Purpose is to provide state of Missouri tax credits to new or expanding businesses in a Missouri enhanced enterprise zone, authorized by state statute. It's created by local authorities, the City of Columbia, County of Boone, and is certified by the Missouri Department of Economic Development. We've already touched on 115 of these exist, and the zone, if you decide to create it, is in effect for a period of 25 years. I believe in your pamphlet, Bernie, is this map on there? in your packet, I believe you have a map of where the zones are currently related. There you go. It is in there. So let's go on to qualifications, Brian. Someone has to propose a map, which we have done, and the way the map is determined, I'll get into how geographic boundaries are established, because it's a rather intricate process, in just a second. Initial eligible areas are determined by DED and are based on poverty rates, unemployment, and population data, and other items. And all areas must be contiguous and based upon census block groups. And there, and when you see our proposed map, it looks like one of the most gerrymandered districts in the state of Missouri, but it's based on the census blocks. And if one part of that census block needs to be, or we won't have it in there, that whole census tract has to be in there. So there is almost like the city limits of Columbia, Mike, if you must be contiguous. Final certification of an EEZ, should you decide to go forward with this based on our recommendation, must also include evidence of conditions of poverty, unemployment, inadequate infrastructure, and or general distress. To provide these state benefits, next slide, Bruce, you got it already, a company or the community must be willing to provide tax abatement on new real property improvements. Want to really stress new real property improvements. So we aren't abating any or aren't requesting for any tax abatements of any kind on any existing property or on any personal property under this program, only on new real property improvements. The minimum abatement required by statute is 50% for a period of 10 years, the minimum abatement, which is what we're recommending. Existing real property tax continues to be taxed at the full rate, and the Enhanced Enterprise Program has no provision for offering any abatements on personal property. Business requirements.
Carol Shoemaker has entered.
Where's Carol? Carol, you can't sit back there. You have to come up. This is Carol Shoemaker with the Missouri Department of Economic Development, and Carol is the administrative person who works with Enhanced Enterprise. So we'll be on in a minute with questions. Just didn't want you to have to walk all the way to the front later. To be eligible for these benefits, a project must be pre-approved by DED and must meet the following state criteria. Some big advantages for us here in that we have lots of startups in our community, lots of jobs are created and ideas are created by the University of Missouri and start in our incubator and grow. So you have to create a minimum of two jobs, minimum of $100,000 in new investment, fairly low thresholds. 51% or more must have paid health insurance, a portion of it. You have to pay 51% or more of the health insurance premium. Service industries are qualify. Those are companies that have the majority of their revenues produced from out-of-state. Replacement facilities and new facilities require the two new employees and $1 million in new investment. There is a local Enhanced Enterprise Zone Advisory Board who basically reviews all the codes of the businesses, that's how the classifications are set up, and recommend to the governing body that these codes should be included for the businesses in this zone. We have, our committee spent, what, Bob, 10 meetings discussing all the codes and things like that, so that's in the packets that you have, and we'll get there in just a second. We have some examples. Bernie worked up some examples. These are more or less based on projects that we have worked with or are working with, but they're great examples. So manufacturing example number one, invest $4 million in new personal property, 25 new jobs at $13 an hour, no real property expansion. In this example, there is no local or state benefits that currently apply. Personal property, fixtures, equipment, and computer are $4 million assessed at 33 1/3%. That's $1,332,000 in taxes. If this facility was located on Route B, that's where we use that tax rate. Personal property due over the five-year period, figuring the depreciation, et cetera, is $173,500. state tax credits that would be available to this manufacturer if this manufacturing facility was located in an enhanced enterprise zone would total over $166,000 over a five-year period. No community incentive, basically, but the zone provides the access to the state programs. Local revenues produced from this project would equal $173,500 plus the indirect jobs and taxes without any local abatement. Let's look at manufacturing example number two. Assumes a $10 million investment in new real property and a $5 million new personal property investment, 40 new jobs at $13 an hour. Real property taxes, again on Route B, 10-year new real property taxes collected are $1,041,000 or almost $1,042,000. Columbia Public Schools would receive $781,000 of that $1,041,000. 10-year new real property taxes collected, or abated, pardon me, would be the same as the property taxes collected. So you're abating half of it, the taxing entities get their half, therein lies the $1,041,000 collected in the community. Personal property taxes on this project over 10 years, assuming the same depreciation schedule, are $266,700. So the total new taxes collected in the community over the 10-year period or $1,300,000, plus a direct benefit of 40 good jobs and the taxes and goods and services that those jobs buy in our community. Statutes specifically exclude some types of businesses from this. Retail trade, no carpet stores. That's good. Retail trade's excluded. Gambling establishments are excluded. Educational services are excluded. Food and drink establishments are excluded, religious organizations are excluded, and public administration facilities are excluded. So, in your packet is a list of proposed eligible businesses. And what we worked through to come up with are proposed list of enhanced business enterprises for the local EZZ are based on these things. Includes certified or larger development sites. We're back kind of to how the map was chosen here. Target industrial sectors like IT, data centers, biotechnology, et cetera. We wanted areas that would emphasize basic employers, which bring new money into our community, emphasize the research strengths in the job creation at the University of Missouri, includes transportation and warehousing, freight companies, rural-related. Obviously, we're at the crossroads of America, so we have some great opportunities there. Included are areas where our existing manufacturer and major employer sectors are located. The area includes current prospects considering the Columbia area on some certified sites, which is one of the key factors, and includes possibilities for downtown development. And there is the map. You really look at the map, the Route B corridors there, the St. Charles Road corridor, the KJF property out on Route Z, the Tradewinds Industrial Park, which is south of Interstate 70 out by the Route Z area, Discovery Ridge. Obviously, we have certified sites in the Route B corridor and at Discovery Ridge. The downtown area is included. We've really tried to get the sites where we believe the businesses that we want to attract to locate. That map also shows, and in your other areas, it overlays part of the zoning districts that are established today. There's no impact on any zoning laws or ordinances whatsoever by forming this kind of a zone. Even though the term zone is there, it has nothing to do with existing zoning ordinances and what's allowed in certain zoning ordinances and things like that. So all those zoning ordinances stay there. So should you decide to think about this and move forward, what are the steps for completing an EEZ designation application? We have to define a local zone area. The subcommittee working with the Ready Board has developed this area. This This map has been submitted to DED. At least tentatively, they agree that all these geographic boundaries are correct and the zone qualifies. The city, in this case, would appoint a 7-member Enhanced Enterprise Zone Advisory Board. That board is charged with 2 or 3 things. I'll get there in just a second. City has to pass a couple of resolutions. The first resolution is to work on an Enhanced Enterprise Zone and establish that designation and appoint that 7-member board. That board is charged with reviewing all the business classification codes and making a formal recommendation to the governing body of these are the codes that should be included in this designation. At the end of that process, the city would have a second resolution which actually determines the businesses, the eligible business clusters by the NACE codes and authorizes the local tax abatement. So it's a two-step process from your perspective. Several steps in between it will help facilitate. City also holds a public hearing and submits a completed application to the Department of Economic Development. As I said, ready and the ready subcommittee worked through this process pretty extensively. It's been taken to the ready board. The ready board charged us with refining this process and bringing it to the council for consideration. We have, Bernie, the list of codes that we think we would recommend is in our packet, correct?
Okay. Correct.
We have also taken the liberty of recommending some folks that you might want to consider, should you want to do this, to be on the advisory board. Those folks might be Todd Culley with Boone Electric Cooperative or Randy Maurer with Boone Hospital, Kerry Gartner with the Downtown District. Kerry's here. Lewis Gatewood, who's with the Columbia Housing Authority, runs several after-school programs. Muriel Liggett, who's a CPA with Williams Keepers. Jonathan Sessions, who's with the Columbia Public Schools, member of the school board. John Strothbeck with Kraft Foods. And the taxing entities that are impacted by the formation of this district also have to recommend a person to be on this board. So if you ask us to further investigate this, we would contact the impacted taxing entities and ask them for a person to recommend. As I said when I started, Carol's with us from DED. I've flown through this. You had another 100 pages of information in your packet, so we'll try to answer any questions that you might have. My closing remarks would be this. Your Ready team really does work very, very hard and tries to recruit businesses and grow businesses and expand businesses and create good jobs in Columbia. I have seen in my tour with Ready several applicants who had good ideas, good prospects, dollars to get it done, but simply didn't have the long-term funding necessary to compete with their idea. And their project wasn't big enough to make Chapter 100 bonds affordable, so that's our other means of abatement, or didn't create enough jobs or wasn't a big enough project to secure build funds from the state or the targeted jobs tax credits, et cetera, from the state of Missouri. In creation of this zone will provide access to those entrepreneurs to get the dollars, get the tax credits that they need to create good jobs in our community. So that concludes my remarks. We'll do our best to answer any questions.
Any questions from council?
Pardon, sir?
I just was asking any council members if they had any questions right at this point. No? Any other comments?
And correct whatever I said wrong.
Now. Sorry.
I don't think you've said anything wrong. I think that you've covered it pretty well. Okay. It is a very good program. We call it a gap program. Programs or companies that have the smaller amount of jobs actually be able to assist them, bring them up to par with the others, the larger companies and the greater jobs. So.
Thank you very much for a very nice presentation. I think it's alarming to most of us to when we look at how Columbia's grown, how the University of Missouri's grown, how the population's grown, to see this rather stark drop in manufacturing jobs, jobs that a segment of our demographic needs to have. Those jobs are hard to get, they're hard to retain. And as Mr. Griggs pointed out, the companies that that have a footprint, have footprints in Columbia, compete against their other partners in other cities for expansions and for retention. And we need to not be at a competitive disadvantage. The point is about that is very coherent and well taken. The next step would be?
Well, if I might recommend, the work of the group has been fantastic. This is one of those tools that is not in our toolbox. It is in the toolbox of over 100 other cities in Missouri. It puts us at a competitive disadvantage when we're looking for those jobs to fill that gap in our local economy. And so I personally recommend it to you. Of course, it's the council's decision, and moving forward really takes a consensus of the group. Would really like to move forward, obviously.
Is there any objection for staff moving forward with the enabling legislation? I see a consensus. I don't know that you need anything more formal from us at this point.
I don't think so. There's no objection, and everyone looks positive. We'll come back with the legislation to appoint the board.
Very good.
Establish the map.
I would add that if any member of the council has any, you know, as you think about this and say that information, Mike, Bernie, myself, Bob Black, virtually every member of the Ready Board will be glad to provide you with any information that you might have.
Thank you, David. Good presentation. Now we need to move into closed session at this point. Do we need a motion for that?
We already did that at the last
meeting.
Already
done that. So we'll adjourn this part of the pre-meeting and move into 1A and 1B for our closed session.